Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It's time now for the Friday gathering, and this week I'm joined by Green Party Senator Pauline O'Reilly, Sinn Féin TD for Mayo, Rose Conway-Walsh, Mick Clifford, Special Correspondent at the Irish Examiner, and Louise Byrne, Political Correspondent at the Irish Mirror. And you're all very welcome. Thank you for being here. Pauline, you've lost a TD this week for 15 months. You decided to suspend NASA Harrigan for voting against the government, as people will know. And some members of your party have said that they just feel it's too harsh. And I wonder whether it sends the message that Green Party members are not permitted to have an independent voice.
Look, I think nobody wants to make these decisions. It's been an incredibly difficult couple of days for, I think, everybody in the parliamentary party. Certainly, NASA is very highly respected across the party and including the parliamentary party. If you look at other political parties, you know, If somebody does vote against government even the first time, that's, you know, they are removed from the parliamentary party. This is the third time, to be fair, and I think that we had signalled that it would be a step up.
But now, clearly, taking the committee roles from NASA as well, you wanted to send, did you, a very clear message here?
Well, you know, when you're in government, you are expected to vote with government. We all knew this. 76% of our members voted in favour of us going into government. That was the strongest across the three parties. And we explained in real detail what this would mean. So, you know, most of the members are completely aware of that. When it comes to committee roles, there are five government TDs per committee. And so, you know, somebody not being in the parliamentary party means they're not in government effectively. And so there is no whip in place for them, and they can effectively vote whichever way they want to, which is now the position with NASA. So I think that's really where things stand as regards the committees. But obviously people can go in as an ordinary member, an ordinary TD into committees. And but it's, you know, it's something that NASA was aware about. You know, she was aware of beforehand that there would be sanctions. I think we've all made that clear.
Do you think she'll come back?
Well, you know, we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait and see.
Do you want her to come back?
Of course. I mean, we want as many TDs as possible. We went into government with 12 TDs. But what underpins everything for us as a party and trying to get the most that we can in terms of the programme for government, but indeed our manifesto going into government, it is underpinned by us voting together as a bloc.
Okay.
And we all know this. But it also means that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are expected to vote on things that they find unpalatable that the Greens have brought to the table. Mm-hmm. And look, over the last few weeks, it has been a challenge anyway. There are different views in relation to the lifting of the eviction ban. But because the Green Party is in the room, it has got a support net for renters, which was our top line for tenants.
Well, Rose, you're sitting there shaking your head.
You know, Pauline is presenting it like that they have the solutions. I think NASA took a very courageous stand, and I think she's paid the price for it. But I think NASA does get the absolute enormity of what has happened and what's happened this week and what will happen if the eviction ban is lifted. So I certainly do commend her for that. But she has suffered extreme sanctions, and that obviously is a warning to anybody else who was thinking of voting and supporting their constituents that they are not to do that. Again, they will have an opportunity next week when we present the legislation. Eoghan O'Brien has tabled legislation yesterday. We're going to take it to second stage on Tuesday. There'll be an opportunity there for all of the TDs across the board, independents and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael backbenchers and the Greens.
You're
to support
going to be loading on the pressure again on
we
them.
We are. Of course we are, to avoid the catastrophe that's facing people in this day next week.
Mick, what did you think of the decision, that the punishment that was meted out to NASA Harrigan?
I think it was probably more for the sake of the coalition partners and the Green Party themselves. I think if it hadn't been relatively harsh, there have been rumblings there. What I found interesting is the type of individuals within the Green Party who reacted against it. People like, I saw Dan Boyle now, who would be fairly solid supporter of the leadership in the Green Party. And when you see that kind of thing, it raises eyebrows. And there's a certain divide there, going back to one that had closed following the initial leadership challenge between Catherine Martin and Eamon Ryan. Mm-hmm. There's sort of retrenching a bit in that respect. And The big problem with the whole thing, as far as I'm concerned, is that all of the indications prior to this being announced, I think it was the 7th of March, were that it was going to be extended. Any kind of leaks, any hints coming out of government were that. And then suddenly this came along. And I think that's the hardest thing for people, particularly like NASA Horrigan, to stomach, because all of the alleviating all the measures being put in place to alleviate the problems over people being thrown out, they're being rushed through and they are not ready. Apart from the fact that these kind of things should have been done 2 or 3 years ago anyway, but they're being rushed through and they're not ready. And there is an awful lot of bad feeling about the whole thing as a result of that.
And Pauline has said that she would hope that NASA would come back to the Greens, but she will have other options.
On the face of it, she does. But I just wonder, I mean, people have suggested, for example, she's a possibility as a running mate for Mary Lou McDonald, Dublin Central. I would have my doubts about that in terms of how that would be greeted by the party there. She could run as an independent, quite possibly. But I wouldn't be too surprised if she returned to the fold at the end of it.
Would you welcome her into Sinn Féin, Rose?
Well, you know, that's a matter for NASA. NASA is very well capable of making up her own mind. We're an open party, but our absolute concentration is the people who are going to have no place to go next Friday. And that and has to be that. And there's one last chance for TDs across the board to make sure that that doesn't happen. And if it does happen, they have to be responsible for that within their constituencies. We saw what happened in Ballinrobe even overnight, where the 7 houses there were sale agreed and suddenly they were taken off the table, sold to one person. And all of those families have been disappointed. Those families have nowhere to go. Those families have had their dreams shattered again. And this is day after day the stories that are coming forward for people. Mm-hmm. I have never seen anything like this before, Claire. In all my time in politics, I first ran in 2004. I have never seen anything. I know we talked earlier, I think it was about the water charges. And yes, that was a massive, massive campaign. But I have never seen the situation where a government have knowingly voted to put people out on the street or to have nowhere to go. It is so, so serious.
And just a quick thing in that, Rose. Sinn Féin will be doing exactly the same thing. If, for example, you went to next January as proposed by Sinn Féin, OK, say you had measures in place, it may not be the figure being tossed about as 3,000, which is awful. It may be 2. You'd still be throwing people out on the street when an eviction ban comes to the
end. We know that there's no alternative. We know from Focus Ireland, we know from Peter McFerry, we know right across the board. We know from Mayo County Council, we know from 17 other councils that have no emergency accommodation. Surely we could allow the few months. As I said, I mean, our legislation would work up until January the 31st and then kind of tear that off to April, that people have somewhere to go, that you have the tenant in situ scheme working, that you have it expanded, that you have local authorities using emergency measures.
But chances are, in January, which is a terrible time of the year anyway, we'd be in the same situation again.
No. Well, we know for certainty we're in the same situation next Friday. There's an absolute certainty about that. I could show you the pile of emails I have only from one county, and that is from Mayo, where you have the concentration in Dublin and in the urban areas of people being evicted. And this government are standing back. And I heard Simon Harris say earlier on, well, the opposition are wasting time. What are we supposed to do? Sit on our hands and let this happen? It is crazy what's happening.
Well, you do realise that social you're not going to make a difference next week. Like, this motion of no confidence that the Labour Party are tabling, like, the support clearly is not going to be there for it. There's no way. Maybe Sinn Féin want an election in 3 or 4 weeks' time. I can't see any other member of the opposition wanting to go out and knock on doors at the moment. It's not going to pass. Well, the people might want an election, but, I mean, I don't think your legislation, as I was saying to Eoghan O'Brien on the plinth yesterday, it could pass, you know, on Wednesday. It's going to get kicked to committee. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not really going to work. And I think, you know, we've heard from the Taoiseach over the last couple of days that, you know, it's play acting, it's theatrics. And I think Sinn Féin and the opposition know deep down it's not going to make any difference.
You why it's different, because this is the government's legislation. It is one very slight amendment to that if the homeowner is in a situation where they're at risk of homelessness themselves, that they can take that house back. So it is the government's own legislation. It wouldn't require this could be done before Easter. It could be done before the term, and that's absolute certainty. If the government will was there, and I'm hoping hoping that people who are in the precarious situations or have relatives will go to their government TDs and the independents over the weekend, and that they will make them understand the enormity of what's happening.
And Pauline, if it comes to pass that there's a radical increase in the number of people made homeless in the next couple of months, would you expect the electorate to forgive you for being part of the government that made that decision?
There's no doubt but that homelessness is at a crisis point. And I mean, we had a lot of advice, as I understand it, that you're storing up a problem for the future. Now, would we have liked as a party for more of the measures to be put in place much earlier? Yes, but we have decades of a lack of ambition around housing. And the real issue here is the lack of supply. And I don't think that anybody can look at somebody and honestly say that that's going to be resolved in the kind of time frame even that Rose is talking about.
But it's only a matter of weeks for some of those measures to come to fruition. Now, you're a party of government. You have a voice. You could have gone in there and said, just wait for a month, 6 weeks, 2 months and get these things done.
We did have most of the measures that are there and that have been put in place are there because the Green Party put them in. That is around, you know, cost rental, having more public housing, that people will not be able to sell their house and put somebody into homelessness without that going to either the person themselves to purchase, which in most cases is not a reality. Most people can't afford it. Or to an approved housing body or to the local authority. And then that it's rented back, not for profit, so at the same rent or lower. And look, again, would I have liked this in a couple of years ago? Yes, absolutely. But we can only deal with the situation as is at the moment. And, you know, we also have to take the advice on board. And it does seem as if there would have been legal challenges. Apart from that, though, it is the fact that you are storing up problems for the future by stopping this and actually forcing people onto the streets.
I mean, a very obvious thing, Polly, would have been if they were to announce that it was going to happen on the 30th of June and that all of these measures were brought in immediately. Now, again, going back, and I know it's not the Green Party's fault, these measures are no-brainers anyway in the current housing emergency. They should have been in there. But at the very least, it would have given the breathing space to get these brought in. And as I said, the indications were put out there that that was the scenario. And remember, we're talking in the context, you're talking about availability. The charter surveyors during the week, something like one in every five the houses that are unoccupied are suitable for renovation. I mean, people have been going on about the vacant houses, but if we're talking about that level only coming on, then you've the Airbnb thing with the EU and the issues there. The availability is tightening all the time while this is going on. And it was just this hammer blow to put it in straight away without any kind of cushioning of it on the way. I think that is the biggest issue. I think everybody accepts it has to be done sometime, but that is a huge issue.
But I think similarly, it can work the other way. Why didn't the government put these measures that they announced in the first week of March? Why weren't they looking at them in October, November, December? You know, and Mick is right, like all indications on that Monday night when the leaders were meeting was that it was going to be extended. And then a text came out at 9:30 saying, no, it's not. Like, it's not. We're ending it and we're putting these measures in place. But why wasn't it done when they had the breathing space to do it instead of at the last minute as usual?
You were writing, Mick, during the week about the particular resonance that evictions have for Irish people. Just explain what you're getting at there.
Well, it's just you go back to the 19th century and the land leagues and everything, and that photograph, I think we all know from history books, of the family with their possessions standing outside, effectively, what was a hovel. There's a resonance there. That resonance was there, for example, when the Troika came in. And as I understand it, the government advised them, had to inform them about the history to be very careful about the whole concept of evictions, whatever the context. And there was a context going back 10 years about bank repossessions and all that. And the banks stayed off. We had numerous predictions. And this is the only hope, I think, for the moment. These dire predictions are there. The only hope is that they don't come to pass. These predictions were there 10 years ago in a different context in terms of bank repossessions. And they didn't come to pass. And again, you know,
Interesting that the advice went to the Troika. You can't go there with getting people out of their properties
They were saying you have to understand the context in terms of social unrest.
And the Troika accepted that.
It would seem to be the case. And the banks quite obviously took it on board as well because, you know, as I said, there have been a number of occasions, you go back to the early 2010, 2012, where we were told there was going to be thousands of repossessions. And thankfully, it didn't happen. Now, I know this is a very different context, but we have to hope that something similar might occur now. But the small landlords now don't have the kind of obligations or duties that others hadn't. You know, they have their own issues to deal with.
Yeah, but you will have situations where even if people don't end up on the streets or in Garda stations, they will end up at overcrowded in families, in box rooms, in completely unsuitable
the
conditions.
Hidden homeless
you will have
situation.
Children who will have to move schools. You'll have all those things, all that social upheaval for people that will continue to be there. But I have no doubt that there will be people who have absolutely nowhere to go next Friday, because I know I have them across my desk, and people, even as I said, in Mayo, and when Mick was saying, I mean, Michael Davitt and Mayo, it really, really resonates with people. And this is what I don't think the government understand around the depth of feeling around this. So even if you're not directly affected yourself, there are 750,000 renters across the country. Of course they have an uneasiness, but you have granddaughters, grandsons, sons and daughters and relatives who are impacted. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't know somebody who's impacted by what's happening. And we have to remember as well that some people are just existing as it is at the moment, with the huge increases that there has been in rent as well, that people are barely surviving with the cost of living. So all of these things combining, I think, is leading to great social upheaval. And I mean, there will be a huge demonstration, I think, on the 1st of April
all
as
right.
well.
I'm going to leave that one there, because I want to move on to something else we heard about this week. The UN climate report published this week was described as a survival guide to avert climate disaster. And Pauline, my question for you is it going to be very difficult now to implement some of your climate measures during the remaining time of this government? Because we heard about some of those measures, like congestion charges, reduced car parking spaces, enhanced public transport and so on, measures in agriculture. And we know that some of those measures were due to be discussed at Cabinet a couple of weeks ago and they were taken off the agenda. Will they ever see the light of day?
Already, Claire, we have had huge changes when it comes to there's a massive increase in people using public transport for a start, and part of that are the measures that we've already put in place. So it's not as if that was a starting block. So the reduction in fares, 50% for young people, 20% for everyone. We're seeing, you know, almost 100 new carriages for trains, loads of new cycle paths.
They're
going
the
through.
Nice things. Well, the hard things, the things that's going to be difficult for people to accept.
To be fair, some of those things are actually a challenge. You know, removing people's car parking spaces is a challenge for
that's
us.
That's what I mean. And congestion charges, are you ever going to be able to get there where they're at reality?
But some of them are already happening. But, you know, there has to be a message in this for the other political parties as well. I mean, only this week Sinn Féin councillors voted against active travel in Waterford. And this is part of the issue, that everybody signed up to this Climate Act. And it is everybody's responsibility to get on board with this. And unfortunately, there needs to be more of an appetite. But I feel that the public is on board. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's now the job of everyone to make sure
that
happens.
So how would you rate Sinn Féin's attitude to dealing with climate change?
I mean, they are just appalling. They have no climate policy.
Oh, Pauline, let me just name out to you.
No, I'll just speak for a minute.
Well, just let her set out her case and then I'll let you in.
You set out your case and I'll set out my case in terms of our legislative and policy record.
Well, look, go ahead, Pauline.
I mean, this and the alternatives.
This is actually, you know, on the ground stuff across the country. That's where it really matters. And when you have Sinn Féin councillors voting against cycle lanes around a children's school, you have to ask questions. So, you know, it is about showing leadership. They've also put forward a bill that would effectively have ended all onshore wind development. They pulled it because they got massive pushback from environmental NGOs. But it was on the schedule. So over and over again, I also go up against Sinn Féin councillor, Sinn Féin TDs. And they speak
so Pauline,
out of both
where's
sides.
The where's the green hydrogen strategy?
Out of both sides of their mouth, whether it's the West Coast.
Where's the
or
school?
The
school transport. Where's the public transport? Where's the Connect Ireland? Where's the Western
Connecting
Rail Corridor?
Ireland, we have
the
one new bus,
you don't present the alternatives. Your big idea is
a
carbon
week
tax.
Is already happening, Rose.
Well, you try and use buses
across Galway in your own constituency.
I really don't think you've been awareness on it, but I think we all agree, and absolutely Sinn Féin supports the objective of cutting emissions by the 51% by 2030. Now, what you find in the government, what you find practical measures like the Western Rail Corridor, when is it going to be delivered, Pauline?
Well, you know full well that you know that we're absolutely behind the Western Rail Corridor, I believe that it will happen, and school transport.
But when will it happen?
Is under the Minister for Education, but we already had free school transport last year, and it, so I'm certainly pushing for
when are
for
we
it.
Going to have, like, even a fair retrofit plan? Again, we tabled legislation around that, put forward proposals and a Dáil motion around that, because what you find with a lot of the retrofitting is that people simply cannot afford to access the grants that are there. They need to be made affordable for people. We look at the warmer home schemes. There's 2.5 years waiting list for warmer
home
schemes.
Your commentary is all on Green Party policies or government policies.
But there
where,
are policies.
Where are your own?
Well, there are our policies. So Darren O'Rourke put forward the Green Hydrogen Strategy Bill. He put forward the Planning and Development Regulations, the amendment there that he put into that. We had 10,000 extra places to be funded in the school transport scheme. We have the fairer retrofit plan. We have the driving down emissions with public transport, again, that was done. We have the ban on dumping new products bill 2022. Mm. We have Sinn Féin's vision for renewable energy. We want
poor
to work
Rourke,
with
I do feel,
with
I do feel for Darren O'Rourke.
Darren O'Rourke is a scientist who knows exactly what he's doing.
Tell me about that.
He put out a tweet this week in relation to the IPCC report and got one retweet. So I don't know where,
tweet,
where
well,
the
well,
whole Sinn Féin on Twitter was.
Government has been run on
Sinn Féin will have a chance to show exactly how committed they are. If current predictions are correct in that they'll very good possibility they'll be in the next government, and a lot of the emissions target is backloaded towards the end of this decade.
That's the key.
So there, and that to me is once more simply putting the issue on the long finger. And quite frankly, I would have not Sinn Féin in particular, but Sinn Féin are really the same as the other big parties. The public at large, unfortunately, I don't agree with Pauline. I don't think they're on side. And fair play to the Greens. I think they are one party that are actually putting their necks out. But the public at large, I don't believe, are on side in terms of any of the difficult issues that have to be addressed yet.
Not even that.
And that's not unique to this country. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's definitely...
I think it's going to be getting the rest of the coalition, never mind the public. I think it's going to be getting the likes of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil on side. And to be honest, I think that's half the reason why the Greens were so tough with NASA Harrigan this week. Because I think they know deep down that if they aren't seen to punish one of their own for voting against the government, well then Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael backbenchers are going to feel like they have free rein. I mean, I remember this time
on climate issues.
Like, I remember this time last year, do you remember the turf issue? It's mad to think it was a year ago, but it nearly is. And that was one moment where I thought the government was going to completely and utterly fall, because they were pushing back on that. They were pushing back on climate. They were pushing back on the Greens. And I mean, something like congestion charges, something like removing car park spaces, that's not going to go down well with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael backbenchers. So I think that is half the reason why they were so strict with NASA in a bid to kind of win over those backbenchers and say, look what we do when one of ours goes against the government. This is what you have to do.
Is Louise right there, Pauline, that you were setting a standard now that you'll expect back in return?
To be honest, from my reading of it, the other political parties do have that standard. And when somebody votes against, they are removed from the parliamentary party. And I've never seen anybody in Sinn Féin vote against the Sinn Féin whip. And I doubt that they would in government either allow that. But, you know, you do have to have that cohesion.
We don't make the kind of decisions that you made last week.
You do have to have that kind of cohesion. And yes, of course, there are challenges for the other political parties. And it does mean we need their support in votes that are difficult for them, just as, you know, votes that are difficult for us.
But are the climate measures backloaded so somebody else will have to deal with them?
Exactly.
There is a massive amount of work underway already when we see in terms of onshore, in terms of solar, with solar farms opening and the grants. And actually, you know, there is a backlog, which we've acknowledged, in terms of people who want the retrofitting grants. So a lot of work is being done, but it's more a case that you put the measures in place now that start bringing the emissions down.
Yeah.
And so the emissions do go down over time.
Yeah,
and so that is really, it's more the backloading of emission reduction rather than backloading of measures.
Do you think the measures are being left there for you to deal with, Rose?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can see that from the plans.
So that means you think you're going to be in government.
But I do think what's really serious is the poorest of people in the poorest of housing or people who can't afford transport are the people who are being impacted by having policies that are out of reach of ordinary people.
But are there not very helpful retrofitting schemes for those people?
Oh, there are, but they're way above and beyond. So if you have the warmer home scheme, which is a great scheme. But if you've to wait 2.5 years and you're a pensioner and there's no way of changing the criteria, or there's no will there to say, to look at somebody's case and say, you're 85 years of age, you're living in really bad conditions, we need to retrofit your home, but you have to wait 2.5 years, the same as everybody else, to do it. It is not good enough. We need to front load these things. So instead of just concentrating on, you know, we need to put a tax on this and a tax on that, we need to provide. I think people are really up for this.
Is the people aren't there to do it.
Yeah, one quick thing. I mean, one area that does not affect the public who might be discommoded is offshore wind energy.
Yeah.
That is just an utter disaster, both in terms of what's being lost in terms of opportunity, but merely getting the thing off the ground so we can meet the targets. It is really ultimate in badly handled the planning situation, everything about it. That is something we should have been way down the line on, and we're losing interest from international operators to come in and use what we have
and
here.
What's wrong? Why are we losing their interest?
I mean, it's been changed a number of times. The planning, the way the planning is dealt with, resourcing in planning is just unbelievable in terms of the offshore wind. It's appalling. No, they're getting around to it now, but you're talking about 4 or 5 years behind the curve at a time when at the very least we should be up with the others, and we're actually behind them.
Again, though, that's something that's going to be very divisive when it comes to the person who bought their house with their lovely sea view and they're going to be looking out on wind farms.
I think we'd get past that area of it, Claire. The other parts of it, I think, you know, the fact that it's not actually getting done, and that some of the big one left last year, and some of the big operators are looking at it and saying, are we going to hang around? That's really dangerous, and it's a thing that really needs to be dealt with.
Pauline, what have you to say about
that? Look, there are a number of projects that, you know, that have been given priority and that are moving forward. So that is happening. I acknowledge that a lot of the work should have happened a number of years ago. Like, absolutely. And I do believe that if the Greens had been in previous governments, the previous couple of governments, that we would have seen more development at this stage for offshore, like we have seen in other countries. But we are where we are now. We didn't have proper planning in place, and that has been resolved with MARA going ahead now. I think that there's massive opportunity for us in Ireland, and that's being recognised. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, we do need to make sure that we're moving forward more quickly.
It's a huge opportunity, isn't it? I mean, some have likened it to oil in the Middle East here for us.
Well, I mean, we have a potential for 80 gigawatts off the West Coast. So it's our one big resource. Mm. And actually, when it comes to onshore wind, that's continuing to ramp up. And Ireland is amongst the top three in the world for onshore wind. And we can be that for offshore as well. Okay. And
but
solar,
again,
actually,
again, we need to look at the models for onshore wind in terms of community-led models, how communities are consulted with, all of that. But Pauline is right, and since there are massive opportunities, particularly along the West Coast, for the Atlantic Economic Corridor there, for developments there with the Atlantic Technological University and all that, but it needs to be speeded up, and it needs to be treated more urgently than it is. And Mick is exactly right in terms of us not having strategies, not having firm guidelines. There's too much confusion. You know, even if you look at the lack of the green hydrogen strategy bill, all of those things.
Okay, we'll leave that one there. Mick, I just want to talk to you in particular on the news last night about the arrests in the Kerry Babies case. And for people in Cahors, I mean, we've heard this morning, the news brings it all back.
Yeah.
Des Cahill was telling us about being there when baby John's body was discovered, back to a dreadful and dark time in our history. But it's so recent, it's almost hard to get your head around how recent it was.
It is, absolutely, Claire. And I mean, the two main issues that came out of the whole thing, and they defined the times to a large extent. One was deference in terms of the way, for example, the Gardaí were regarded, and the fact that a tribunal was set up to discover how exactly a family could admit to a crime they could not have committed in some detail. And that turns into the other issue of the time, which was the focus that was placed on, the horrendous focus was placed on Joanna Hayes and the attitude towards women in a tribunal environment that was massively predominantly male. And that was a reflection of some of the mores at the time. But it is really, and you know, there are two people now, I'm not sure yet what part of, it seems, Kerry, what part of the county they're from. But you know, it'll be interesting to see how it's, how it advances from here. And, you know, presumably people will take account of the mores of the time as well, mm-hmm. because they were pretty dark times in a lot of ways.
Just when Des was talking this morning about, you know, all of the knocks on doors that happened at the time and women being interviewed who might have had a baby and that baby wasn't to be seen, regardless of their circumstances. It's just a dreadful situation.
Absolutely. And the other issue about that is, remember, this baby John was found on the Ivara Peninsula, which was the opposite peninsula that would have been nearest to where Joanna Hayes was in Abbey. And once the Gardaí decided it was there, absolutely no focus was placed where it should have been. And that's a trend we've seen before. And now we see all this time later, there's a possibility they may be able to trace people.
All right, we'll leave it there. Mick Clifford, Pauline O'Reilly from the Green Party, Rose Conway-Walsh from Sinn Féin and Louise Byrne from the Irish Mirror. Thank you for joining us. We'll take a break. Bye. Now, that's about it for now. Just to bring you the headlines, the investigation into the disappearance of Annie McCarrick has been upgraded to a murder inquiry. The American woman who lived in Sandymount in Dublin was aged 26 when she went missing in March of 1993. And the Court of Appeal is giving its ruling about now on the appeal by Graham Dwyer against his conviction for the murder of Elaine O'Hara. But that's it from us. Today's programme was produced by Barbara Feeney, researched by Ciarán Dunn. Our broadcast coordinator is Jarlath Holland, and Mark McGrath was on sound. We'll talk to you on Monday at 10. Over now to Louise.